Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just come out with blessings with food. Me a running out of blessings, I run him down. Me a dead, me a drink out of traffic, I'm so far over, what to be?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so not that me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Johnny pan, food in a Dutch pan. I'm from the news, and the devil can't touch that. Yes, they can't forget that. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have joined me tonight to study the Word of God once again. Truly, God has been good to us. He has been blessing us, and I hope that you have been truly enjoying the blessings of the Lord. We know that we cannot do anything without Him, and He is just so gracious and so merciful towards us, and surely, friend, I know that you are blessed. And so let us study the Word of God once again tonight. But first, let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We lift up your holy name. I thank you, Lord God, for this another opportunity to study the Word of God with your people. Lord, we thank you for how you have brought us through valleys and over mountains, and you've brought us through various situations, oh God, but every time we have come out victorious. And Lord God, we thank you for our victorious living, oh God. The fact that we are overcomers, the fact that we can do all things through Christ that strengthened us. Oh God, we thank you for this time of fellowship that we are able to look at the Word of God. And Lord, I'm just so thankful to you, Lord, for even providing the Word of God for us, Lord, as a roadmap to help us in this life. Oh God, remember your people. Remember those, oh God, that are challenged, oh, by the cares of this life. Lord God, I pray that they would not be discouraged, but God, that they would just put their faith and their trust in you. Lord God, I pray for those around the world, oh God, for that pastor that is being held overseas, oh God, and I believe it's Iran, oh God. I pray for that pastor, God, that you'd remember him. Lord, I pray for other persecuted Christians around the world, God. Father, I know that we enjoy where we are and our clothes and our house and different things, but God, help us to not be selfish in our prayers, oh God. Help us to remember those who are suffering in other countries, Lord God. Help us to remember those who are suffering even in the United States, Lord. Those who are homeless and begging on the streets, those who have lost jobs, Lord, not only in the U.S., but across the world, those who are suffering economically, I pray that you would touch right now. Oh, God, I pray that you would bless your people in such a way that we can turn around and be a blessing to others, Lord, not just spiritually, God, but emotionally, financially, that we would be that beacon of light in a dark and dying world, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to do what you are calling us to do, Lord. Your will be done in our lives. And, Father, we bless you right now. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, I hope that you are doing well. This past week, I was feeling under the weather, but thank God I'm doing a whole lot better than I was doing last week. And I'm just so thankful that God allowed me to be able to continue to minister the Word of God. And so tonight we're going to be looking at the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, if you would turn to Ruth chapter 1. And I just want to share a little tidbit with you. I shared a little something with the ladies on Sunday, and I just wanted to share this with you. I got an opportunity the other evening to cook some stir-fried chicken and with some vegetables and some rice. And my fiancé was here for his birthday, and I went ahead and cooked some vegetables with some rice, and he commented on how good the food was, and I thought that was very nice of him. He said, wow, you know, the food is so nice, and it is, you know, just perfect, and, you know, he was just so complimentary about, you know, the rice and the vegetables and the stir-fried and what have you, and of course, that made my heart, you know, just feel so good to be complimented on the food. But he said something that really tickled me. He said, well, but what is that hickory flavor? You know, how did you get it just so perfect? You know, the stir-fried and the hickory flavored. And, you know, it just tickled me so much because, of course, my response was, it's burnt, dear. And, of course, you know, that was so hilarious to me that here I burnt the rice, did not tell him I had burnt the rice, and prior to serving him the meal, I was a little bit disconcerted because I had burnt the rice and was sorry that I had to serve him burnt rice for his birthday, but I did not mention that I had burnt the rice. I just served it and left it for his own interpretation. So, but notice that his interpretation was a good one. He thought that I had put some type of extra flavor into the rice for it to blend so perfectly with the stir-fries and taste so good. So there are times in our life, dear friend, when we have to interpret things a little bit differently than we ordinarily would. So what about you? Have you been served burnt rice in your experience of life? How have you interpreted it? Have you interpreted it as hickory flavor? In other words, this is just a different experience right now, but I know that God is bringing me another flavor soon, one that I would like better than this one. Or have you really tasted the true burnt taste of life and have become bitter? I learned a very valuable lesson just from watching my friend clean every last drop of rice from his plate because he genuinely enjoyed the food and he liked the fact that when he cleaned his plate, it made me happy because I knew that he really enjoyed the food. What I learned from watching him was that it does not matter what life throws at you. What matters is how you interpret it. Is your life burnt, painful, and hopeless? Or is your life hickory-flavored, joyful, and hopeful? God allows us to go through some things, But then he leaves the interpretation up to us to decide whether we want to experience the joys of life or whether we want to continue to be burdened down. You see, dear friend, how we interpret the things that happens to us really makes all the difference in the world. We can be burdened down, we can be distressed, or we can just put our trust in God and understand that he truly will make a way for us. Another example is that of a donkey. A donkey carries many burdens and was often used to carry things from one place to another, similar to camels. In fact, the donkey was the animal used to carry Mary when she was pregnant with Jesus. But please note that at some point during the journey, the burdens or the packages are taken off the donkey. If even a donkey knows how to lay down his burden, dear friend, what about you? No one knew about burdens more than Naomi and Job, and perhaps, you know, a few more Bible characters such as Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And of course, you know, I'm sure if you search the scriptures, you could find many more characters in the Bible that had burdens that were seemingly impossible, but yet they continued to put their trust in God. And so, dear friend, I want us to look just for a few minutes to the book of Ruth. And understand this, that whatever you go through in life, it's up to you to interpret it the right way. In other words, everything that you go through, God has a plan in it. God wants you to experience something positive. So it doesn't matter how bad the situation looks. What is your interpretation of it? Are you trying to see what good God is going to bring out of it? Or are you having a pity party and constantly beating yourself up and saying, you know what, I can't believe I'm going through this? Because everyone has to go through something at some point in time. If you live long enough, you're going to experience something. And sometimes that something is not too good. But that's all right. It is all a part of life. And so when you are challenged with some negative things happening around you, whether it's in your personal family or whether it's in the family of someone, other relative, understand this, that God has a purpose and a plan in it. Don't sit there and look at the problem and throw up your hands and think that life is too hard. Life is not too hard. God has already sent his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross for you. He died so that you could have life, so that you could be encouraged. Life is not too hard. God is going to help you. He is going to strengthen you, and he is going to work things out for you. And so if you look at the book of Ruth, let us read chapter 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb? And they that they may be your husbands, turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Wherefore, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty had afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley season. Now, I want you to note something, dear friend, because it is very interesting to note the situation with Naomi. Now, I know most of the time we emphasize Ruth, and it is the book of Ruth, but I want to talk to you a little bit about Naomi. Because when life throws you something, you know, a curveball, as people would say, you've got to know how to respond to it. You've got to know how to respond to it. And so Naomi was a blessed woman. We must acknowledge that. She was a blessed woman. God blessed her with a husband, and then her quivers were full. In other words, God blessed her with children. She had two wonderful sons who married two wonderful girls. And so not only did she have a husband, she had two sons and she had two daughters-in-law. And I'm sure at this point, when this occurred, that she was looking for them to have some children so that she could also have some grandchildren, some babies to hold in her arms once again. And so I'm sure she was planning in her heart for these grandchildren that were coming, but it did not happen that way. Now, dear friend, if you are like myself, perhaps when you were young, you had some dreams and some visions and you planned out your life, the direction that you wanted your life to go in, you know, and it did not work out that way. Some things happened in your life and just life just hit you real hard and things did not turn out in your life the way that you expected it to. I can't tell you how many times, dear friend, that I sit down and I say to myself, well, some of the things that I wanted to do happened, but some of the things that I wanted to happen in my life did not happen exactly that way. And, of course, I can go on and talk about several things in my life that just did not go exactly as planned. And so leaving out the very, very personal details, I will say one of them is that I have wanted to, I wanted to get my PhD when I was much younger, and I'm just about to, I'm trying to get into a program now, but it's much later in life than what I had wanted to do. And so now I'm being faced with juggling a household and trying to get back into college and wondering how or whether I will be able to really focus my attention on it to accomplish that goal. And so, dear friend, there are other things that have occurred in my life, you know, and I could easily throw a pity party. I could easily sit in my room, close the door, pull the shades down, and just practically live in my room. But I understand this, that God allowed me to go through some of the things that I face to make me a stronger woman, to make me or give me the ability to be able to encourage other women. If I had not been challenged in life, I would not be able to encourage other women, you know, because book knowledge is very different from real life experience. And so, dear friend, I want to encourage you to not allow life to beat you down, but to find a way to read and study the Bible, put your trust in Jesus and allow him to direct you. And so, Naomi, this is an interesting situation that happened with Naomi, because she realized that she did not need to be down. She, just for a moment, when she got back to Bethlehem, she allowed the flesh to rise up. Because when they asked her what happened to her, she says, I went out full, but I came back empty. And she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. And of course, you know, Mara represents, you know, bitterness and what have you. But what happened with Naomi, she had a husband. Her husband died. We don't know why he died. The Bible didn't tell us why he died. All we know is that she's now a widow. And so she wasn't too discouraged then, because she still had her two sons. So she still had her sons, her daughter-in-laws, and some grandchildren to look forward to. Well, now her sons died. We don't know why they died. All we know is that they died. So now she went from having a family of, what, two sons, her husband, that's three, herself and her daughter-in-law, six of them now, to three of them. Now, Naomi had to be a great woman of God, because she could have kept both of those girls with her and let them take care of her, but she did not want to be selfish. The life of a widow woman back in those days was very, very difficult. But even so, she was willing to struggle by herself than to allow those girls to be unhappy. Because, of course, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that when a woman is widowed at a young age, especially if she's under the age of 30, that she needs to remarry. And the reason why it says that is because the Bible says that when they're that young, they will be wanton, they will be busybodies, they'll gossip. So it is better when they have their own household to take care of rather than staying single at such a young age. And so Naomi knew this, and so she was trying to encourage these girls to go and find themselves husbands, because she said, well, you know, if I had children even now, I mean, are you going to wait the 17 or 20 years for them to grow up so that they can become your husbands? That would not make sense. And so she encouraged them to do something else with their lives. Now, I want you to pay careful attention to that, because that separates a person of integrity from a person without integrity. Naomi did not have to send her girls away, but she did. Why? Because she wanted the best for them. I want you to know, dear friend, that regardless of what you're struggling with, don't be selfish. Don't think of yourself so much that you forget to encourage somebody else. Naomi was grieving the loss of her husband and her sons, but she still had the wherewithal to say, Orpah, go find yourself a husband. Ruth, go find yourself a husband. Now, I want you to notice the difference now, even between the daughters-in-law. Orpah, she cried her little crocodile tears, but she still left and went back to her own people. Ruth, on the other hand, realized the significance of not leaving her mother-in-law, because she knows that a widowed woman back in those days did not get Social Security benefits, did not get a cash insurance policy from her husband. A widow woman back in those days would be a very poor person because she did not have a male figure to take care of her, and that was going to be a problem. And so Ruth knew enough of the culture to understand the significance of not leaving her mother-in-law alone. Now, I want you to realize something, that when we honor our parents, we are blessed. When you take time out of your schedule and pay tribute to your parents, you will be blessed. The Bible says that you will have long life. We know that Ruth was blessed because of how she honored her mother-in-law. Now, the significance of this is that she now set herself up to be in the direct lineage of Jesus Christ. I want you to also note something else about this entire situation. While Naomi was going through, she did not stay in self-pity for very long. She allowed herself that moment when she first got back to the city and the busybodies in town were making a lot of noise around her and saying, wow, is that Naomi? She's come back. And they were causing a big stir and a big commotion when she first got back into town. And, of course, like I said, her flesh rose up and she said, you know, immediately, I'm not full, I'm bitter, whatever. You know, she acknowledged the fact that she came back with less than how she left. But I want you to continue studying the book of Ruth and study it well, because notice that Naomi then turns around and mentions to Ruth that there is somebody in the family that will be able to help them. And she knew that she herself could not hook up with the young man, but she knew that she could hook Ruth up with him. And so she mentioned that they had a kinsman, a relative of theirs, to her husband. And she instructed Ruth what to do as far as going to glean in his field, and how if she gleaned in his field, how she would get a chance to meet the man and what have you. And, of course, word got to Boaz, and Boaz even tells his people that they should drop extra for the young lady so that she could have some extra to bring home to eat. Now, I want you to know that in the book of Ruth, Boaz is a type and shadow of Jesus, meaning that he was an allegorical figure of who Jesus is. So when you think of what Boaz did for Ruth, then you think in terms of what Jesus did for us, because Boaz redeemed Ruth. In other words, he set her up in a way where she would have an opportunity to live again, where she would have an opportunity to start fresh again. And that's what Jesus does for us, dear friend. When he shed his blood on Calvary for us, what he did was put himself in a place where he could redeem us unto himself. He shed his blood on Calvary just for you, so that you could have that opportunity to be justified, to get back in right standing with God. And so Boaz was introduced to Ruth And Ruth did everything that Naomi instructed her to do. Now, isn't it wonderful when someone can put their own self aside and look out for the good of someone else? Naomi knew that she was old, but that Ruth was still young enough to marry and to bear children. And so she made sure that Ruth would be okay. And of course, if you go on to chapter 4, you will see that Boaz does marry Ruth. And if you go in chapter 4, verse 13, you will see that Ruth has a son, and his name is Obed. And if you trace that lineage all the way down, you will see that Jesus came all the way down from that line. So we see that here is a little young lady, Ruth, who was a Moabitess, not even originally part of the children of Israel, but yet God had mercy on her and allowed her to be part of the family of God and to be the person who did that. Jesus came straight from that lineage. Amen. Amen. I want you, dear friend, to understand this, that when life gives you challenges, you know, someone once said it, if life gives you apples, then make some apple juice. Or maybe that's my own statement. Amen. Can't remember if I heard it or if I just made it up. But anyhow, it sounded good to me. If life gives you apples, then make some apple juice. In other words, don't just throw the apple into the trash. Don't just throw it back where you got it from. Do something with it. Do something with it. If someone closes one door, God will open another door. But don't stop trying. Don't be discouraged. Don't allow the enemy to stop you from accomplishing great things for God. Think of a business that you can start. Think of some ways that you can start to really get yourself set up to make some money, whether you have to do lawn care or you have to go and help somebody do laundry or iron their clothes or something. There is something that you can do. There is something that you can do, but don't be discouraged. Get up and do something, because God has great things in store for you. And I want you to know that when God has some great things in store for you, don't allow the enemy to discourage you and to stop you from accomplishing great things. If you would look with me again to Psalms 18, it says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Amen. Look at verse 4. It says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me in my distress. I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Now, I want us just to look at that for a few minutes. The Bible says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Dear friend, is God your strength today? Do you acknowledge that he is your strength? Now, you cannot tell me that God is your strength if you're constantly worrying, if you're constantly stressed out, because that tells me that God is not your strength. That tells me that you would like him to be your strength, but that you're not allowing him to be your strength, because if you're allowing him to be your strength, then you will not be stressed out. You will not be losing sleep, and you will not be walking around wringing your hands and what have you. If God is your strength, then you will be able to rest at night. You will still have joy in your heart because God is your strength. And the Bible says the Lord is my rock. A rock means that he is that firm place in my heart, that firm place in my life, that I know that without a shadow of a doubt that I will not falter, that I will not slip, because I am sure of who my God is. And the Bible says he is my fortress and my deliverer. Dear friend, you've got to recognize that he is your deliverer. Doesn't matter what you're going through, God is about to deliver you out of it. It doesn't matter what it looks like, God is your fortress. He is building something around you to guard you, to make sure that nothing can penetrate that guard that he has around you, that fortress, that stronghold. Amen. And I'm not talking about strongholds of the enemy. I'm talking about the kind of stronghold, fortress that God puts around you to protect you. Amen. It says, my God, my strength. I'm on verse 2, Psalm 18, verse 2. It says, in whom I will trust, my buckler. Now, I'm sure all over the United States, there are signs everywhere that says, buckle up, buckle up. And if it's not in your state, then I'm sure it's coming to your state eventually. It says, buckle up. In other words, whenever you get into a vehicle, an automobile, you should buckle yourself in, because in case of an accident, it might help to save your life, because you would not be thrown from the vehicle. A lot of people end up dying when they get thrown from the vehicle because they were not buckled in. Dear friend, I want you to know, just like a seat belt keeps you buckled into your vehicle, I want you to know that God is your buckler. He is the one that will keep you from going under. You know, sometimes you might be having such a hard situation that you might feel like you're about to just fall off, you know, fall off the edge of a cliff. That's just how the experience feels. But I want you to understand that when God buckles you in, he buckles you in for life. When you're a part of the kingdom, you're part of it for life. And so when anything happens, don't allow negative people and situations to stop you from continuing on in the kingdom, because God loves you and he's called you and he's placed you there. He's ordained you and called you for such a time as this. You're going to hear me say that over and over and over, dear friend, because God truly has called us for such a time as this. When men get discouraged and women get discouraged and children get discouraged, there has to be somebody who still has a positive attitude. There has to be somebody who is standing, amen, like Jeremiah weeping to the people. There has to be someone who still knows that there is a God in heaven. There has to be someone who still can blow the trumpet in Zion. There has to be someone who is still saying that Jesus is Lord. Everyone can't be down in the dumps. Everyone cannot be having a pity party. God has to have a people within the people that are still standing with the banner of God held high. Dear friend, are you still holding up that banner of love? Are you still holding up that banner that says that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life? Don't be discouraged, but allow him to be your buckler and the horn of your salvation. Amen. And your high tower. Jesus is all of that. He is all of that. He is the horn of your salvation. Amen. He is your high tower. It says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. You see, there is a significance in that right there, friend. I will call upon the Lord. In other words, if you don't open up your mouth, you will get nothing. But when you open up your mouth, you get everything. Amen. I will call upon the Lord. I'm not waiting for God to come to me. I'm going to him. I'm not waiting for something good to happen. I am doing something in the meantime and trusting God that my blessing is already on the way. And dear friend, when you understand that your blessing is already on the way, then you're going to praise God anyhow. He says, who is worthy to be praised? So shall I be saved from my enemies. Dear friend, if you want to be saved from your enemies, you will praise God right now. If you want things to go well for you in your future, you will praise God right now. You see, I'm not waiting for the storm to be over to praise God. I'm praising God right now. I'm not waiting for the mountain to be moved in order to help me to praise God. I'm praising God right now. Dear friend, when will you start to bless the Lord? When will you start to praise Him even in the midst of what you're going through? Why wait till the storm is over? Some songwriter says, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Amen. I totally agree with that. Notice, when you study the scriptures, you will see that those who were the praisers were in the forefront of the army. They led the army. They're the ones who were the praisers. They're the ones who were the encouragers. And so, dear friend, when you are in the army of the Lord, you've got to learn that praise comes before victory. Praise comes before victory. If you want a victorious life, you've got to learn how to praise God. Amen. Now, I admit that sometimes I grumble a little bit. But you know what? When I grumble a little bit, fortunately for me, God has given me that ability to catch myself. When I catch myself grumbling, I stop it. You've got to know yourself well enough, dear friend, and have enough self-discipline to see yourself when you are out of character and when you are displaying inappropriate behavior or inappropriate thoughts. You've got to be able to see yourself. Don't wait until somebody walks up to you and says, sister, that wasn't right. Or sister, you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be saying that. You should know yourself well enough to be able to realize when you are not speaking by faith, when you're not speaking faith, I should say, or walking by faith. You should know yourself well enough, because if you want God to truly bless you, it says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Dear friend, you can't be saved from your enemies if you don't know how to praise God. You've got to praise Him right now. So why don't you take some time right now and just praise Him. Lord, we thank You right now. We bless Your holy name. We honor You right now. You are truly worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I bless Your holy name right now. Amen, amen. You know, there's a recent yell that God has given me. You know, I've been yelling it with the ladies, and you know, it's when you just feel like praising God, you just say, yeah, yeah. You know, when you just feel like shouting, it's yeah. You know, when you just shout and just bless Him and just lift up His holy name, for He is worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. You know, David, many times he was running from Saul and from whatever was going on with Saul, but he said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. So in other words, when you're distressed, don't just pick up the phone and gripe to somebody. In your distress, call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Don't allow yourself to just be stressed out. Call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. He is able to help you. Look at verse 30. It says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God, save the Lord? And who is a rock, save our God? God is your rock, dear friend. God is your helper, dear friend. Trust Him. Obey Him. Let Him lead you. Let Him direct you. Because truly, He is able to do that. Look at verse 39. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Wow. Wow. I don't know if you're in a battle with someone. Someone has been talking about you and whispering behind your back. I don't know what the situation is, what's going on with your family. But I believe that the Bible is truth. And he said that God has girded him up and that he has subdued his enemies under his feet. What that means is that when people come against you, you will understand that, God will subdue them under your feet. Now, David, of course, was literally talking about his enemies. And like I said, he had some trials with Saul, and of course he fought many battles himself. But understand this, that when we make this application to us in this modern world, recognize that God will do the same thing for you. Yes, he will. He will do the same thing for you. And if we go right back to my initial statement, you will understand that when you find yourself challenged with many, many things going on, how will you interpret it? How? Will you taste the burnt taste as with my rice? Or will you interpret life as hickory flavored? In other words, yes, some things in my life cause bitterness and cause anger, but I'm going to let those things go. You see, an angry person is only hurting themselves, himself or herself. An angry person or a bitter person, they really think that they're hurting the people around them, but they're not. They're not. And I really pray that you will understand how much God loves you, how much God cares about you. He does not want you to be bitter, dear friend. He does not want you to be angry. But he wants you to understand how much he loves you and the fact that you too can have a successful life, whether you're trying to open a business or you're trying to go back to school. Whatever you're trying to do, you can be successful at it. Because why? God has already ordained that you should be successful. He has already ordained that you should be like Jesus Christ. And so, dear friend, this is your opportunity to start to apply the principles of the Bible to your life. What are some of the principles of the Bible? The principles of the Bible is that you should love God with all your heart and all your mind, and that you should love your neighbor as yourself. I've already mentioned about honoring your parents, but those are just some core principles right there. Love God with all your heart, obey his commandments, and also love your neighbor as yourself. When you love other people as you love yourself, whether it's a husband, if you're a man, or a wife, a husband if you're a woman, I should say, or a wife if you're a man, whether it's your husband or your wife, you should love that other person as you do yourself. And when you love that other person as you love yourself, then guess what? You're going to treat them well, because you know that this is the handiwork of God and that you must treat them well. And dear friend, if you're in a situation where you're not being treated well, someone is not respecting you, and they're putting their hands on you and hitting you and just mistreating you, go for counseling. Get some help. Don't stay in an abusive situation. I know that divorce rate is high among Christians right now, and I'm not trying to tell you to divorce your spouse, but what I'm telling you is that you should not be abused, and that your husband should treat you the way he wants to be treated, and wife, you should treat your husband the way that he needs to be treated. Love him. Take care of him. Husband, love your wife. Take care of her, because it is God's will that you should be one, and that you should treat each other lovingly and kindly. And so I want to encourage you, dear friend, as we started out with the book of Ruth, talking about Naomi and her family, I want you to understand that God truly loves you, and Naomi kept a good attitude even when she found herself a widow. She lost her husband and her two sons. She still had the presence of mind to encourage her daughters-in-law to marry again. That's a painful thing, When you have to start again, it's not easy. Trust me, it's not easy when you have to start again. When you find yourself alone and you have to start again, it's not easy. But guess what? God gives you the strength that you need to start again. So, dear friend, if you find yourself in need of hope, Jesus is your hope, and he will help you to interpret life hickory-flavored rather than bitter, rather than burnt. Dear friend, be encouraged. God loves you. He cares about you. And he is going to help both you and your family to be successful. God bless you. You know our scripture, Romans 10, verse 9 and verse 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And of course, our closing thoughts, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. I hope that you've memorized that, because what you believe, you truly can achieve with the help of God. Dear friend, let us pray. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We lift up your holy name. Oh, I thank you tonight for all those who have studied with me. I thank you tonight for all those who will hear the recording of this message. I pray, oh God, that you would truly bless them right now, encourage them, strengthen them. Oh God, you know the desires of our heart. Oh God, to please you, to live a life that's pleasing to you, oh God. I pray for your people. Oh God, those that have had hard situations like Naomi, oh Lord. I pray that you would truly touch them and encourage them. Help them to realize that they too can start again and they can be encouraged. They don't have to live in the past, but they can live for today in the present with your help and your strength. I thank you, Lord God, for all those that will forgive, those who will forgive their abusers, those who will forgive those who have hurt them. Teach them how to forgive, oh God. And right now, Lord God, I bind up every unclean spirit, everything that would try to exalt itself above the name of Jesus. I bind up every spirit of suicide. I bind up every spirit of depression. I bind up every spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism. I bind up, Lord God, every spirit of hate and anger in the church right now. And for those at home right now, we bind up, oh God, that spirit of fighting right now and argumentative spirit, oh God. I bind it up in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you, God, for loosing, Lord God, gentleness and kindness and love and peace and joy in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you right now for healing the sick right now. Oh God, you're healing someone who is sick in their mind right now, God, having all kinds of unclean thoughts, God. Oh, shake it out. You're delivering them right now. You're healing them in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, God, for someone who's being healed and encouraged right now, who's been discouraged, down, and depressed. Oh, God, you're bringing them out of that depression right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for healing all kinds of cancerous tumors right now. Oh, God, that are shrinking, that are leaving, oh, God, the body. And someone who has brain cancer right now is being healed in the name of Jesus. Someone who has meningitis right now is being healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you right now. Oh, God, for remembering your people, for healing them, for delivering them. Oh, God, for touching their bodies, for touching their minds right now. I thank you for deliverance right now. Someone is being delivered. Mashata, some kind of lung infection in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you're healing them right now. Lord, I bless your holy name. I magnify you in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. We bless you right now. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we bless your name. Oh, we adore your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Maya kusara bo siye kerabo ya. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, right now. God, someone is being healed right now. Oh, God, I thank you for their deliverance right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord God. I bless your name. I bless your name. I honor you, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. Lord, I bless you. Oh, God, remember your people all over the world, God. Lord, you know every need that they have. Oh, God, I pray that you'll meet every need right now. Bless them, oh, God. Move in a special way, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, remember those in countries that are warring right now. God, in Afghanistan, Lord God, remember those troops that are fighting. We pray your protection, oh, God, upon those troops, oh, God, as they seek, Lord God, to protect and to help. Lord God, I pray for those in India. Oh, God, especially those that used to be referred to as the untouchables, God, with leprosy and what have you. We know that you're able to heal. We pray, oh, God, for those people that are being taken through sex trades, oh God, that industry I understand is growing, but God, we know that you're able, oh God, to help those who are trying to help deliver those people out of that bondage, oh God, of that slavery from the sex trade. Lord God, I thank you right now that you are delivering, oh God, somebody right now in Italy, oh God, that has a tumor, Lord God, in their stomach. I know that you're healing right now in the name of Jesus. God, remember, oh God, my friends in the UK, relatives in the UK, God, and we pray that you would touch them right now. Oh God, encourage them. Lord Jesus, those in the Caribbean, Jamaica, Trinidad, oh God, remember those in Venezuela, Belgium, and Russia. Lord God, we know that you're able to remember those in China, Japan, Korea, oh God, all over the world. Bless those ministries, God, Joseph Prince Ministries and different ministries, T.D. Jakes as he's getting ready for the women that are loose, God, and ministries all over the world, God, that are preaching and teaching the gospel. Lord, I thank you for them. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. God, bring us back to prayer, oh God. Bring us back to prayer, oh God, and help us, oh God, to remember to bless your holy name, to give you glory, to give you honor. And Father, I give you thanks right now, and I give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, dear friend. You've been studying with Evangelist Faith Reed. This show is Vision, and I pray that you have been encouraged. Listen for just a minute as I play something for you. Amen.
Yes, indeed. And Job, while you were going through, he looked up and he said, though he slay me, yes, will I trust him. So I want to encourage someone today. Listen.
Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge.
God bless you, dear friend. As we get ready to go, continue listening to Second Chance Ministries as we go, we know that you are too blessed to be stressed. Second Chance Ministries.
Next time we bless, still we fool. Me and running out of the blessings are running down. Me and David, imagine cause I'm not a classic of our own. I'm too blessed to be
stressed. I'm too anointed to be supported. I'm too blessed.